Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
A Heiner's today, I was going to say 71. How about we try 90? A low tonight of 71. Heat index today, 95. Wednesday, chance of rain in the morning. Some could be severe on your way in. We'll keep an eye on that for you. High near 87 tomorrow, and then Thursday, Friday, look in the 90s. Right now we have 9 minutes after 8 o'clock and a temperature of 73 degrees at WCCO. And the weather here on WCCO brought to you by Country Hearth.
Swing a bouncing ball to God, he has it. Close to Herbert, and the Twins are baseball's world champions. The world champion, Minnesota Twins. McGee grounding to God for the last out of the World Series. The Twins win it 4-2. Let's listen to this crowd. What else?
The iconic voice of Herb Carneal, the Hall of Famer, one of the best ever. And it just made everybody feel so good, and people like Frank Vile are held in such high regard here in Minnesota. After that 87 World Series win, it was phenomenal. Frank, good morning. How are you?
I am well, Dave. How are you?
Great to hear your voice. Good to have you on. In fact, I ran into Herb Carneal's daughter, Terry, the other day. What a pleasure was.
How's she doing? It's been so long since I've seen Carneal.
Yeah, she's doing great, and it was just a joy talking about her dad, who was world class. That was a cool team, Frank. You guys seemed to have a lot of chemistry in '87.
No question. You know, group of us grew up together from the losing 100 games to learning how to win to finally having all the pieces fall into place in '87, and Andy McPhail in the front office doing a great job adding the Dan Gladdens and the Jeff Reardons and the Al Newmans to make that squad complete. It was just a great, great time. If we went out to dinner, 20 to 25 of us would go out to dinner. That's how close-knit we became, and that's what makes it important for people to realize it's not always talent that wins. It's basically how well you play between the lines together.
Frank, who are the mentors for you in your pitching?
I guess the two guys that helped me more than anybody was Howie Gershberg. He was my pitching coach at St. John's University. I didn't know a whole bunch about pitching because I didn't start till my junior year in high school, and Howie took me under his wing and really worked the mental part of the game with me, really to make me understand that there's going to be good days, bad days, so on and so forth. And it just made me a tougher when I was on the mound. As far as my natural stuff, the guy who really made me the 20-game winner I became was Johnny Padres. Johnny was, he had been fired by us, by the Twins, before I really was able to use my changeup like I learned to do. But the last thing he said to me when he left the locker room when he was fired, was came up to me and he said, "Don't you ever give up on a changeup. It's going to make a difference in your career, and it sure as heck did.
Pitch counts, Frank. Now, it's rare to see a guy go into the eighth inning. I mean, that's really highly unusual. I want to get your thoughts on pitch counts when you were throwing.
I think today they're a little bit overrated. I think today's game, they baby them a little too much. But I also understand the reason behind it. You're investing a whole lot of money in these guys, and you don't want them to break down. The problem is, as I've seen, working the last 8 years in affiliated ball and this year working in independent ball, I see what happens. When you tell a kid he can't do it, he won't do it. If you tell a kid he can do it, he'll go through a wall for you. So I think what you did, what baseball did was they kind of softened the kid up. And you don't see the Max Scherzers and the Justin Verlanders and the Madison Bumgarners and the guys who throw the 120 pitches anymore because they wouldn't allow it when these kids are growing up. So they don't know what it's all about. We went through it knowing that we were going to go My generation, back in the mid-'80s, that's when the closer came into fruition. So my game plan was I'm going 8 innings to give the ball to the closer in the ninth because that's the way the game went. Now you have a set, you got a whole guy, you have a fifth inning guy. I mean, you go 5 innings, you have a chance to win, and then you have 90-plus guys coming in, blow smoke past after you. So that's the way the game's going, and that's the way they're treating it.
Yeah, and then having relievers start. We saw a lot of that last year. What do you think of that?
Oh, God. I mean, they're trying to reinvent the wheel, in my opinion, Dave. And it's really sad from an old-school standpoint. I mean, you're telling a starting pitcher today that I don't trust that you can go 3 times through the lineup and get these guys out. So they have an opener to get them through the tough part of the lineup early on, so it's a little easier when they come in the second or third inning. And then they can get their 4 or 5 innings in and have a chance, you know, to get to the sixth or seventh inning. It just makes no sense. It just, you're basically telling the starting pitcher in today's game they're really not that good. And that's the shame of it because when you break it down, you try taking these guys, and every team's trying to do it. They're trying to throw 100 miles an hour now with these relievers. But if you go back and you tell these relievers to hit a spot 10 times with the 90-plus, 97, 98, 99 mile an hour fastball, it's like that kid in Mighty Ducks who takes 10 shots on goal and he hits 1 or 2 shots.
Mm-hmm.
That's what these kids today do. But that's, as I said, that's the way the game is going now, and that's what you have to live with for the time being.
Really want to get your thoughts because you're working on in the Atlantic League of Professional Baseball, Frank, and we're seeing all these experiments out there. We're seeing the stealing first base rule, and we're seeing the automated umpire, the robo-umpire. What are your thoughts on these?
No, it's god-awful in my opinion. But, you know, it is something that we have to deal with because in the Atlantic League, we signed a 3-year deal with Major League Baseball that we would basically be the guinea pigs for Major League Baseball. And Chris Young, the kid who pitched to Princeton, the 6'10 right-hander who pitched 10 years in the major leagues with Kansas City and a few other teams, is really leading the brigade of trying these. I think the reason they're behind the whole thing, Dave, is the fact that they want to get action back in the game. Stealing first base, they want to get the stolen. They want to get speed back in the game because it's been lacking speed because now it's either strikeout or home run. It's hit or boon, you know, hit or miss. There's also a rule now in the Atlantic League that if you're a left-handed pitcher and you have a good move, you're negated. You have to step off the rubber to throw to first base before you can do anything. So, in other words, anytime you lift your leg on the rubber, the guy can go. Case in point, Wally Backman, who's coaching Long Island Ducks in the Atlantic League, had a lefty throw, the first lefty throw with this concept, and in 5 innings he gave up 8 stolen bases.
Oh, my.
Yeah, so they're trying to get stolen bases back, trying to get action back. The automated strike zone, the TrackMan, it's in its infancy. I'll say that. That's the positive I'll say. I understand how it should work, but we used it Friday, Saturday this past weekend in York, Pennsylvania, and it was not set up, it wasn't calibrated to each individual hitter. So it did not have a consistent strike zone, and it must have missed over those 2 days close to 100 pitches. And the umpires were told that if the ball doesn't bounce, they can't overrule the strike ball.
Mm.
So we had arguments. I got my trivia question is no longer going to be who was a Cy Young Award winner and MVP of the Minnesota Twins in 87, 88. It's going to be who was the first guy thrown out by TrackMan, and that's going to be me. I mean, honestly, God, bottom of the first inning, 28 pitches into it with my pitcher. The umpire must have missed 7-8 pitches with the TrackMan. But what happened, and people don't realize this, was halfway through that inning, he lost the earpiece. And let me go back. With TrackMan, the umpires have an earpiece in their ear with a connector. And it's supposed to beep or say strike ball in their ear. Well, if you don't hear anything, it's a ball. Well, he didn't realize till like after 10 pitches that the TrackMan wasn't working, so every pitch thrown was a ball.
Mm.
So my pitcher got really flustered. So I yelled at the umpire, "Is this you or the TrackMan?" And when I found out it was him, that's when I went a little ballistic and got thrown out. But it's going to take time. It's going to hurt control pitchers. I think Tom Glavine and Greg Maddux, myself, a Zach Greinke in today's game, a control pitcher who spots the ball real well, it's going to hurt drastically because we worked out and in and out. And TrackMan stays within that 17-inch radius. It doesn't go a half an inch outside either way when it's working correctly. What it does do is helps, and we talked earlier about the power pitchers, it helps the power pitch, that 97-mile-an-hour guy who throws up in the strike zone, it raises the strike zone up, and it makes it very difficult, for those hitters to hit. And with launch angles and spin rates and all that stuff, that's what the game wants to see for the time being. So, when Tom Glavine was at his best, he'd be on the plate the first couple of innings, and then he'd go a half an inch off, and the umpire would work with him because he's proven he can go there. Then an inch off, well, you're not going to see that anymore, because if you're an inch off, it's a ball automatically. So it's going to make things interesting for the control pitchers.
Frank, you've worked in the Mets minor league system for a while. Tonight, the Twins and the Mets play a quick two-game series, but it's fun to see them here tonight. Some of those pitchers have turned out pretty good. DeGrom, Syndergaard, a bunch. Tell me about a few of the guys. Will we see any of your products here tonight?
Yeah, tonight you're going to see Steven Matz. And Steven I had for 4 years in the minor leagues, from Savannah all the way up to Las Vegas. Left-hander. Hasn't really been the pitcher I thought he was going to be in the big leagues. I thought this kid was going to have a great career. He throws terrific. He's got a good arm. He just has a tendency to lose command of his fastball and falls behind the plate, gets himself in trouble. But his stuff for a lefty, when he's on, he's really fun to watch. He's pitching tonight. I don't know who's on the mound for them tomorrow, but a lot of the relievers, I was able to have an opportunity to work with and stuff. And those 8 years with the Mets, I'll never trade. That 2015 World Series, seeing so many of the kids that we all work with, not just myself, but everybody who works with these kids, that's what we do it for. We give them, we hope that they have the career that we were able to have, and that's what's so much fun about coaching. The Mets have been struggling recently. It was really time to go. It was a nice time to leave last year. This first half of the Independent Ball League has been so much fun because I didn't realize how good a brand of baseball they play.
Mm-hmm.
It's like watching the St. Paul Saints. People like to watch that. It's good entertainment. And I've really had a good fun year doing that here in the Atlantic League. So I'm enjoying the game. I'm still love working with the kids, and Kathy and I are still together after 36 years, so I'm doing something right.
Yeah, well, congrats on that, Frank, and of course, always held in high regard, as you know, here in Minnesota, where I kind of think we adopted you a long time ago, and always look forward to seeing you back here. But I appreciate your time. I could go on for an hour with you. There's so much to talk about, but thanks for sharing a few minutes here this morning.
My pleasure. Great talking to you, Dave.
There he is. That is the great Frank Vile on WCCO, and with some insight on that Atlantic lead, which all of us baseball fans are talking about right now. And, of course, former MVP and former Cy Young Award winner here on WCCO. Had that big trade back in 89 when we traded Frank and got a bunch of guys back, and Aguilera and Timmy Drummond and Kevin Tappany, who was so crucial in 91 as well, and David West was part of that trade, and the Mets sent Jack Savage to the Twins, completed that trade later on. Good morning. It is 8:21. Twins and Mets tonight, 6:30.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.